going through the topic of the church. Looked at a lot of different aspects of the church, and I would like to just go back and pick up where I left off, tie up a couple loose ends, but what I'd really like to address this morning and look at is the topic of submission within the body. So, we looked at these things last time. We looked at a little bit of how the church government works internally, what that looks like. And there's a lot of different, of course, different scenarios and things that can come up that obviously can't address everything in one sitting here, but or probably even 10. But just to reiterate this and look at this, because there is a punchline to this that I really didn't get to last time. We read about these titles right here in Scripture, these descriptions, okay? And elders, deacons, bishops, and overseers, these are the only offices in the New Testament that are to be appointed, and they have qualifications are necessary for those things to take place. Okay? And here's the verses for that. And we don't want to confuse gifts with offices. These other words like pope, cardinal, archbishop, president, pastor, reverend, etc., those are not offices. I know that that is very different to what we live in and around. I understand that. There are many, many people that are called Reverend so-and-so. They're called Pastor so-and-so. The world acknowledges a pope. They acknowledge archbishops. They acknowledge a great many things. I understand that. And I also want to be very clear that I am not against pastors, okay? I have some very good friends that are pastors. I just don't view them like pastors like many people view them as pastors, okay? And I'm going to explain that. And more importantly, I want to explain why, okay? There are no qualifications listed in Scripture for being a pastor or a reverend. In fact, the Scripture says, holy and reverend is his name. It's a reference to God. It is never referenced to a man. Ever.
Amen.
Okay? Ever. That should sink into our minds. When something is only attributed to God, and then we take that title and give it to a man. Okay? Some of these words are not even in the Scripture. Pope. Archbishop. They're not there. Okay? These are just man-made labels and titles. But offices, even elder, overseer, deacon, bishop, these words that are in Scripture, they're never meant as a title. This isn't some hierarchy, okay? They're men, gifted differently, okay? They're not meant to be elevated. They're not meant to be put on platforms. They're not meant to view them as they're so close to God. These men are so holy. These men know so much about the Bible. Well, there's lots of people that live godly and know a lot about the Bible, okay? So we don't ever want to put any man up on a pedestal like that. 1 Peter 5:1 reads this. You could turn there because we're going to look at these specifically verse 5 today. But in 1 Peter 5:1, it says, the elders who are among you, I exhort I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So these things are not titles. Do you notice how Peter just places himself on the same level as any other human being? I'm a fellow elder. We don't have to look at Peter like he was some unbelievable disciple, whatever. You know what I mean? Peter, of all the disciples, is probably very relatable to people. We can heard a lot of messages about Peter and Peter's failures and Peter's accomplishments and so forth. I mean, Peter was very human. So these offices are not mentioned, are meant for titles. But what I'd like to point out, and this is the significance, I want to stress this. Elders and pastors are not the same. Okay? They're not. And I know that what we like to do to just sometimes, well, we don't want to get into this argument, and we don't want to make this an argument, and I don't either. I'm not trying to make an argument. I'm simply trying to teach the Word of God and what it says about the subject, okay? But for the sake of argument, we don't want to even talk about these things sometimes, and that's not good. These things are all Scripture. We need to address these things. But an elder and a pastor are not the same thing. Pastoring is a gift. It's in Ephesians. It's only mentioned one time in the entire New Testament. Every other reference to oversight or authority within the church in the entire New Testament is always in reference to an elder, almost always an elder. Sometimes bishop and overseer. The words are used interchangeably as they are right here, what we just read. Okay? Paul went to Ephesus, he called for the elders. Right here, the elders who are among you, I exhort. Never says pastors. That's because pastoring is a gift. It's not a title, it's not a position. There are no qualifications for that because it's a gift. And what I'd like to point out is the word itself. In verse 2 it says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Now most people think that the word shepherd means to pastor. But it doesn't. That word shepherd means feed. This is very interesting if you look into this subject. Okay? The word shepherd in verse 2 means to feed. So it does not mean pastor the flock of God. It means shepherd or feed the flock of God. Okay? Shepherding is part of feeding, guiding, and so forth. Okay? Shepherd the flock of God. It means to feed. Now when you read on, and you come to verse 4, and it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, that word shepherd does mean pastor. But who is it ascribed to? The Lord Jesus. Now, I understand I'm only giving you one section here and one reference. You can look this up through the whole New Testament and you'll find the same results. We don't have time to get into all of them, but I just point this one spot out for you. You can go home and dig into this and find out that it's the same. Every time you see that word shepherd, and it does mean pastor, it is always ascribed to the Lord Jesus. It is never to a man. And when the word shepherd appears in regards to a man, it always means to feed. See, it's the gift. It's not the position. Okay? This same book, chapter 2, verse 25, same word, means same thing. It's ascribed to the Lord Jesus. So that's one other reference. But there's more. Like I say, you can look into these things. So that's why I bring this up. And that's why I point this out, that label that is thrown around so much in Christendom is actually only ascribed to Christ. That's the significance. Okay? Do with it what you want. We looked at how leadership was chosen from among the people. I think I went the wrong way. Nope, I didn't. Okay, just look at this quickly because this will tie into our topic today. These are some things that elders are to do according to the scripture. They are to rule, that's from the Hebrews passage, and the word actually means guide. Rule or guide the sheep in the ways of God. Okay, that's one thing that the oversight or the elders are supposed to do within the body. They are also to feed the sheep the word of God. And this is a big responsibility. Being accurate to the word of God, that takes time. That takes work. Mind these things out. And there are things that come up, and people have questions and challenges and all of these things, and it's all part of it. Here's the one that really ties into today, okay? I got this chair. This is driving me crazy. I got to be able to back up here. So, guarding and protecting the sheep from erring doctrine. And I just want to point out, we're going to talk about submission and submitting to authorities and each other. Okay, that's 1 Peter 5. But sometimes guarding and protecting the sheep, that means you got to trust. Because sometimes there are things that only certain individuals know about. And so I'll give you an example. Sometimes there may be, this is a real life example, okay? Several years ago, there was trouble with a certain individual. And the people, the entire group, was warned to be careful to not have any kind of discussions with this person by the oversight. And there was an individual that did not heed that advice. And it caused a lot of trouble. And it caused a lot of unnecessary problems that had to be cleaned up and dealt with, that had they just submitted, it could have been so much easier. I tell you that as an example, that sometimes we think we know, and we think we're making the best call and all, but you know, a lot of times we don't know all the details. And so we've got to trust that what we're being told is for our benefit, much like our kids. Do you tell your kids every in and out of why you tell them to do what they do? When you give them a command, do you sit and explain every minute detail why they need to do that? No. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's for their good that you don't. You follow what I'm saying? There's a lot to this, okay? It's not that the oversight is trying to keep you in the dark or trying to, you know, keep you at bay, you know, just trying. That's not the case, okay? There's a lot to this. There's deacons. There's the plurality of these things. What plurality promotes? We looked at these things last time, okay? But here, turn to Hebrews 13:17. reads this, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And there's also some other verses listed here that you can look up in your own time that talk about the authority that the oversight does have within the body of the church. Okay? Elders also have a submission. First and foremost to the Lord Jesus. That is the head of the body. In 1 Peter 5, we read this instructions on how to shepherd. He tells them not to be lords, not as being lords entrusted to you. Lords means control. And that's something that oversight has to be careful, I think, not to overstep and not to get too nosy in some people's lives and get into things that the oversight really doesn't need to be involved in. And not to be lords over them. Or to, you know, manipulation is easy in that word, isn't it? You can say things, maybe hint at things and suggest things that, I mean, honestly, you might not even be aware that you're doing it. But manipulation is probably more easy to do than actually trying to control people. But anyway, it's interesting how that word lords, it means to control. Rule, that we looked at in Hebrews, it means to lead. And so elders are to guide, not dictate. Okay? And there's an accountability. That's why plurality is best, is because it's not just one person with this authority, and there are others, checks and balances, and accountability to others within the authority to make sure that one person isn't getting way off in the area, right? So we looked at this last time I ended here. Submission, I thought this was a really good quote by Randy Amos. Submission isn't just obeying when those in authority agree with you. It's easy to do that, isn't it? Yeah, we're in agreement. We all agree. Happy day. Well, that's like a holiday because that's not the norm, is it? We all have differences. But it's good to trust the Lord in these things. We don't always have to be right, nor are we. You ever thought you were right? Come to find out later, you know what? I wasn't right. In fact, I was dead wrong. That happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It happens. 1 Peter 5:5 says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Now, this says, it's right after what we read about the leadership, but I'll read it again. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so there's some other words now coming into play here with this idea of submitting, isn't there? Humility being one of them. Submission is the act of willingly staying under or yielding to another. Key word, willingly. That's submission. Now, doing this, when you submit to someone else, that does not mean that you are not capable or that you're weak or anything of that nature. In fact, this word submit is more of a military term. And so, thinking of it in a military sense, if you had a, I don't know, who's lower in the ranks?
Captain, sergeant.
Sergeant? Yeah, okay. Corporal? Those are lower people in the Army? Okay. What if you had one of those who, he didn't listen to his authority? You'd have all kinds of problems, right? In fact, people's lives could be in danger. You can't have somebody who's off being rogue, or you're going to go on a mission, and this guy is notorious for doing his own thing and not working as a team. That isn't somebody I want to go into battle with. Is he going to leave me hanging, or has he got my back? Is he going to decide that what the captain says is not the best plan? And maybe he's going to try and take over. Maybe you'll have some mutiny going on. There's all kinds of things. And so, but on the flip side, you have someone who does obey the orders from the captain. You know, now that guy, he might be just as capable as the captain, and he might actually even get promoted to captain later on in his life, right? But I guarantee you this, the person that will not submit to the authority in the Army, he isn't going very far. They are never, ever going to take him up the ranks, because you have a problem with submission and authority. And I don't think anybody's going to look very far in our society today. Submission is like, everybody knows everything about everything, right? I mean, we spend like 6 months on the internet and we're doctors. And we're carpenters and we're electricians and we're everything. And it's, I can tell you, I mean, just in my business, it's very annoying. Okay? I'll never forget the time when I worked with my uncle yet. We worked on this house, and these people, everything we did, they would come and say, well, the guys at Menards said to do it like this. This went on for like a week, and finally my uncle, he had enough of it. He goes, well, I'm not really sure why I'm here then. You get Menards to come in here and do it. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, it's just, we don't want to submit to anything. We think the government's wrong, we ain't going to listen to them. We think the speed limit's too low, we ain't going to listen to it. We just do whatever we want. And that's our minds. I mean, we have a serious problem with authority in this country. And anyway, if we submit, it doesn't mean that we're capable or not capable. It doesn't mean that we're weak. It demonstrates a love for the truth. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want the truth? We want to obey the truth. And look at what 1 Corinthians 13 says. Love does not parade itself, and it's not puffed up. And we want to submit to the truth no matter what that means for us. And that's where it gets hard, doesn't it? What will that mean for me? What will that mean for my relationship with my parents, my kids, my whoever? What will that mean? What will it mean for my job? You can look at a lot of different scenarios. Here's some examples in Scripture of submission. If the Son of God could submit, I'm pretty sure that we could find it in our hearts to maybe submit to, huh? Remember when the Lord said this, "For Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." That's not weakness. It's not that he wasn't capable. It was submission. Willingly placing yourself under that other person. It's God-ordained order. Okay? Luke 9. This was an interesting one. "Now it came to pass about 8 days after these things that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray." I was reading that this last week and it just hit me in this idea of submission. The rest of the disciples, they didn't get to go up on the mountain with the Lord. You think there was some discussion amongst themselves about that? But you know what? They submitted to it, didn't they? They did it. And there's another example. When the Lord went in to heal that little girl, he only took a few of them, same three. He took them in and raised that girl up. The rest of them, they didn't get to go in. They weren't called to that. That's okay. They submitted to it. Romans 13, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. And that goes on to say, for the Lord's sake. Ephesians 6, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. This is the workplace. This is to our, we've all got a boss, don't we? Except me, because I'm self-employed. Boy, do I have it made. I can make all my own hours, and I can come and go as I please, and I just got the world. Oh, and don't forget, I'm a millionaire. Yeah. No. I got a boss, too. I got several of them. Okay? Should be on Mythbusters. This is the workplace. We submit. Try not submitting. See how long you work there. Right? There's an authority in place, and it's there for a reason. And we should submit to it. You're going to have chaos. And it gets into the home. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. We submit to that. We want to submit to these things, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And you get into this aspect of things in submission. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I'll never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. How far are you willing to go to submit for the sake of somebody else? Why is submission hard? Well, sometimes it's simply rebellion. Numbers 10, I believe that's Nadab and Abihu, profane fire that they offered as an offering to the Lord. Now, they had made several other offerings before this occurred. It's not like this was a rookie mistake in Numbers 10 here. They had experience in this. But for whatever reason, they decided one day that they didn't need to submit to what the Lord said anymore. And what happened? Fire went out and devoured them. Numbers 12:1, I believe that is when actually Aaron and Miriam come to Moses and say, does the Lord only speak through you? Remember that account? How did that go for him? Yeah, not well. Everything got put on halt in the expedition for, I think it was 7 days. Miriam had leprosy, was put out of the camp, had to wait for her to be healed and come back in. So sometimes it's just blatant, obvious rebellion. But oftentimes, because we think we have a better solution, a better answer, or we're just right. I've spent a lot of time researching this, and so I'm the authority on this. You know what I mean? There's a lot of that today, and social media and the internet makes that very, very convenient to do that. And I'm not saying that you can't learn things from the internet. Not saying that at all, but there's a reason that a doctor's a doctor, an electrician's an electrician, and you're a school teacher or a doctor or whatever it is that you are. People have different giftings, and we ought to submit to each other to learn from each other instead of fighting with one another, which accomplishes absolutely nothing. Old habits, blind spots and traditions, Galatians 2, that's the passage where Paul confronts Peter. Says, I withstood him to his face. He was playing the hypocrite. He wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. When they'd come in, he'd pull away. And Paul confronted him on these things. And I believe Peter submitted to that. How hard do you think that was? That'd be a big... I mean, that'd be humbling, wouldn't it? To have Paul, who wasn't with you the whole time that you were with the Lord when he was here on this earth. The Lord revealed himself to Paul later. And have Paul, who actually was persecuting the church and killing your friends, be the one to come to the one that the Lord told, I'm going to give you the keys, and say, you're being a hypocrite, man. How would you respond? Could you submit to that? Lots of things involved when you think about it, isn't there? There's some good examples. Exodus 15:23, that's where the bitter waters were made sweet. They came out of Egypt, nothing to drink. And the Lord told them what? See that pool right there? What do you tell them? Throw a tree in it. And you can drink it. What? You going to submit to that? Well, you better. If you want a drink, you better. And they did. And what happened? Well, what do you know? Just what the Lord said would happen. And they all drank. I thought about Abraham and Sarah. I mean, think of the craziness that Abraham came up with there when they went into Egypt. Sarah, you're beautiful. And lest we go in there and they want to take you for their wife and kill me, tell them you're my sister. Now, we don't read anything there about Sarah's response that I'm aware of. Correct me if I'm wrong. She submitted to it. I'm guessing she probably had an opinion about it. But she submitted to it. Think of it. And not once. Twice. Why submit? Well, there's a lot of minor temporary reasons, like stop at a stop sign, or you might be dead prematurely. You know, that's a good reason. But in 1 John 3:16, we read this, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Submission, humility, love. The goal is not to just simply and blindly submit, but to submit for the Lord's sake. All those verses that we looked at previous to this, that all these, notice how every one of them are connected to the Lord. That's the reason. Is our motive for the betterment of others and their edification? It's like God is opposed to our pride and determined to break it, verse 5, but in 1 Peter, but powerless to resist the broken and contrite heart. It isn't about being right. It isn't about just winning an argument. It isn't about just having to have your idea used. But it's about the betterment of others. And doing this for the Lord's sake. It's for the betterment and the edification of the people. And even at our expense, sometimes it might cost you. It might cost you some humble pie. Might have to admit we were wrong. Might have to humble ourselves before each other. And just end on this, like a few minutes to comment. In Ephesians 5:15, we also read about submitting. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God." And then it goes on and talks about wives, husbands, children, all submitting to one another in these things. And there is actually, on the flip side of submission, we've talked about being the submittor. What if you're the one being submitted to? What's the response there? Well, there's a duty for those being submitted to. I'll read you this little clip. I thought this was good. Paul's major emphasis in these passages and Ephesians here is not on simply submission of wives, but on the duty of those who are in authority. Husbands should imitate the love of Christ. Parents should not provoke children. Masters are not to threaten their slaves. Do you see the flip side of the coin? When we submit, that's good. Sometimes you're the one being submitted to. What is your response to those that are submitting to you? You understand what I'm saying? There's a flip side to submission. All right? And I'll read that again. Husbands should imitate the love of Christ. Parents should not provoke children. Masters are not to threaten their slaves. The apostle argues that serving is more important than being in authority over others. Absolutely. Christ should be our model. Although he, as God's son, could demand obedience from all, he did not shrink from performing duties that were customarily the task of a servant. He washed the feet of his disciples. If a husband, for instance, is to be a godly leader, he is to be a servant leader. His role is to lead his wife, but to do so by taking everything about her into consideration and by using his position to give her the greatest opportunity to succeed. See, it's about the edification of the body, especially in the church. We're talking about the church. I don't want to get sidetracked with husbands and wives, but within the church, let it be for edification that you seek to excel. 1 Corinthians 14, remember? It's about the betterment of others, and that's why we submit to one another. A lot of things, a lot of conflicts and whatever that come up, they could easily be resolved with a little humility oftentimes. So anyway, just a few thoughts on submission. Next week, Lord willing, I'd like to get into the gifts, talk about gifts within the body and those working together. So I'll open it up now for a few comments. We got a few minutes left.
can't be, you know, well, he's the boss. That's what he said, so that's what I'm going to do. But at the same time, he is the boss. So what do you do when your authority is saying something that is wrong? How do you get around that? So there has to be a back and forth, right? I mean, somebody says do this and you think it's wrong, and maybe you're wrong, maybe you're right, right? And so if you're told to do something and you say, well, why do I need to do that? Clarify. That doesn't necessarily mean you're not submitting. Truth important. So that's healthy, right? Otherwise it could become where you're just submitting blind, you know, because it's the authority, I'm just going to submit. And truth is not important anymore. It's all about authority and submission. So I think submission doesn't work in the army like that. Called soldiers. But I think there is that healthy exchange of, okay, you think it's right and I think it's not, and this is why I think it's not, and then, oh, I didn't think about that, thanks for bringing that up. There's that whole thing that happens. And eventually there is submission, but it's in truth. They even say obey your parents in the law. It's not obey whatever. Lord. So there is that. Truth is always with the Lord.
I was thinking in the verse, I couldn't remember the reference, where it's the centurion, where he says, I am also a man under authority, saying to this man, or man with authority, saying to this one, go, and he goes, to this one, do it, and he does it. And that's the mark of anyone who is under authority, who is right and in the truth, is that they recognize that they are also under authority, especially the authority of the Lord. And that's the key, is to bring it back to what God's word says and submitting to what God's word says. And God's designed the church in such a way that we can't get away with just thinking that we have an understanding of what God says when we don't. We have the body to keep us accountable, and in the multitude of counselors there is wisdom. And so the structure and the, we were talking about the, I think a few weeks ago, the, it's not a hierarchy except for the Lord being on top.
Jurisdiction and boundary, these different structures or authority structures or controls or orders that God has put in place, police officers, bosses, husband, wife, church authority, they have boundaries and orders and jurisdictions. So that's a good thing to understand. Like I said, I think we're in pretty good shape here, but it's something to understand for someone who's trying to get their head around this. Well, I have to do everything that the officer says, or my boss says, you kind of alluded to this too with the boss, but he can't tell you what to do inside your home. You know, and understanding that brings clarity. You know, so. Another thing I thought of was looking at Philippians 2 here, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, and how he was humble, but then God exalted him. This life can be difficult, and people have much harder lives than me, but it's still temporary. Those who are saved eventually get to glory, and everything is set straight. You know, the difficulties are gone, the tears are wiped away, so things can be hard. God has things in place for a reason, but even if it's hard, a believer can say, I'm going to submit to the Lord through these things, and one day he'll reward us as he sees fit.
It's interesting, as I've gotten older and just experienced different things in life, how Satan, it seems like, tries to get in and confuse on these issues. Like these things, like even back in the garden, the simplicity of the instruction of God was so clear, and yet, you know, Satan got in to distort it, to contradict it, to cast doubt on it, and the human heart was sinful, and we all are that way. That's the way we tend to be. That's the natural man, and you know, that's why we need God's word. We need to submit to God's word. Because left alone, it's not going to end well. May the Lord help us.
And this is easier said than done, but really just keeping in mind that whatever you say or what, you know, however you interact with the people, just want to be all for their betterment. It's like your kids, you know. You're not able to squash your kids. You want to train them up so that they can go on when you're gone.
Yep.
And that even like not doing everything for them. You know, that's part of it too. That's the other side of the coin. But just keeping that thinking that I want these people to succeed and to do well. Because it's so easy to get it in for somebody, you know, if something bothers you about them or whatever, you know, and then you're just antagonistic toward that person, you know, and it's so easy to go down that road. But what can I do to better this? What can I do to help them do well? Easier said than done.
But it needs to be said, because I was thinking about how, as a parent, I try to teach, you know, one of the children, think about others. You hurt your sibling. Think about them. And stop thinking about yourself if it's a pouting thing or whatever, you know. But, like, this is... That is such a common thing that we say over and over, right, as parents. But here it is, as adults in the church, that's still, I don't want to say the key, but that is so key, is it? And I was just struck by that, thinking, as an adult, if I disagree with somebody who has authority over me in a certain area or whatever, that is still a huge way to open up and help me get over my stubbornness or whatever it is that's holding me back from doing the thing that God wants. God wants one thing, and it's not always simple. I was looking at how Peter and John said to the Jews in Acts 4, you, whether it's right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. That's what they said to him. And that was about preaching Jesus. And they had said, we told you not to speak in this name. So that's very easy, right? Well, obviously they had to disobey that authority. But it's not always that easy. It's sometimes harder issues. But still, the key... is, well, I need to think about the other person. right? And that's what the epistles so often say, is consider your others and Jesus in Philippians 2, like Alan brought up. And stop thinking about myself. That's such a huge help, I feel like, in this issue is very key.
Yeah, people take confrontation oftentimes as a personal insult, and instead of objectively listening to what the person may be coming at them with, and it's for their betterment. You know, my kids don't like it when I get on them, but it's for their betterment. You know, I'm not doing it for fun. I don't enjoy it. And we ask for your grace in this, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.